Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe, no Michelle today. She is off. We'll be back on Monday. Nick Geezer on the ones and twos. Hope you're having a fantastic start to your Thursday. Tennessee Titans, nothing going on right now as OTAs have wrapped up. Got a few weeks before training camp, about a month until they will report for training camp. So we say hello to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, has been covering this team since day one. Terry, what's up? How are you, my friend?
Doing well. How about you, Chase?
Doing fantastic. I mean, we're officially in that part of the summer where you're watching your Yankees, I'm watching my Braves, and that's really all we have going on.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're into the NBA draft, that's about it right now.
So we're also watching DeAndre Hopkins and what he is going to do, and I haven't had a chance to get your opinion on this. I think it makes the most sense for him to sign with the Tennessee Titans. He's got familiarity, obviously, with Mike Vrabel and Tim Kelly, the offensive coordinator, so he would know this offense, and it's no secret that this wide receiver room could use some help, but it feels like the Patriots are in play, and who knows, there might be another team. How do you see this shaking out with DeAndre Hopkins?
Well, I think it could go, you know, one of two or three ways. I guess it all depends on exactly what DeAndre Hopkins is looking for. If he's looking for, you know, the chance to win a ring, then he's probably waiting for Kansas City or Buffalo or, you know, Philadelphia or somebody to come out and offer him, you know, whatever kind of money they can afford to pay him and come aboard one of those teams to be a second or even third receiver. But if he's looking to cash in with a big payday, then he may be waiting on a team that's willing to throw money similar to what Odell Beckham Jr. got. And then the third thing is this. If he's looking for an opportunity, because, Chase, one of the things that I think is not talked about enough in this deal is DeAndre Hopkins probably is about two really productive seasons away from having a Hall of Fame resume. Would you agree with that?
100%. 100%.
If he wants to have a Hall of Fame resume, then you don't necessarily join the Chiefs or the Bills where you might catch 40 passes a year. Maybe you come to a team where you can be the number one option, like Tennessee, like New England, where you'll have a chance to maybe catch 65 to 70 passes and have close to 1,000 yards receiving so that you can get closer to those numbers that can get you knocking on the door of Canton. So there are really two or three different ways that DeAndre Hopkins has to evaluate this. Does he want to take a lesser role and be on a team that's a true Super Bowl contender? Does he want just a big money grab before his career ends? Or does he want an opportunity to put up numbers that could someday have him in Canton?
Yeah, I think that's all a very fair question because, again, this wide receiver room, I think every one of them could benefit from DeAndre Hopkins, whether he comes in and maybe the first half of the season he's viewed as the quote-unquote number one, and then maybe Treylon Burks, you know, naturally takes that from him. But how much do you think a guy like Burks, who struggled in his first year with injuries, with conditioning, all those things, it feels like he's had a really good offseason and looks to take a big step, but how much could he benefit from just playing next to a guy like Hopkins?
Oh, I think it could be a lot because I think a guy like Burks, you know, has to learn how to be a pro. I think he's doing better in that regard because he looked much better conditioning-wise. He looked much better in terms of his knowledge of what he was supposed to be doing and trying to get on the same page with Ryan Tannehill. But if you've got a guy there who is an all-pro type player in DeAndre Hopkins, a guy who's been one of the most productive receivers in the league over a 5 or 6 year span, then you've got a guy who can show you how to do it as well as, you know, you learning it from your coaching staff or what have you, or on your own. So I think Treylon Burks is a guy who could, and in that entire wide receiver room, could benefit from a guy like DeAndre Hopkins if Hopkins is willing to come in with a good attitude and with the attitude of teaching these guys while trying to win at the same time.
Talking to Terry McCormick, Titan Insider, Kyle Phillips is one that is, I think, just a giant question mark because he basically missed the entire season last year. He showed some promise in training camp, somebody that I think all of us were intrigued by, considering where he was drafted, but being that speedy little slot receiver. What do you think about him going into this training camp and what he might be able to do for this offense?
Yeah, that's an interesting question, because I think everybody got excited at the productivity that he showed in that season opener last year against the Giants. Then he was derailed by shoulder and hamstring issues and things like that. Never really got going beyond that. Even had the issues with muffing a couple of punts. So I think the biggest thing is getting him back healthy and then getting his confidence up so that he can be a factor in the return game too. I mean, this is a guy who could be a move the chains type of guy in this offense, a Julian Edelman type of player. Maybe not to that level of productivity because he doesn't have Tom Brady throwing to him, but still a guy that can move the chains, that a guy that you know is going to find a way to get open on 3rd and 7 and move the sticks, give you a fresh set of downs. It's just a matter of, can he stay healthy? He's put on a little bit of weight, some muscle, which he needed to do because, you know, he has a very slight frame for an NFL player, even for a slot wide receiver. He looks, you know, he looked very, you know, kind of frail in his rookie season. So he's put on a little bit more weight. He looks more ready to take the rigors of what life will be like in the NFL. It's going to be an interesting guy to watch in training camp and preseason.
So I know it's just OTAs and minicamp, so you can't really base a whole lot on that. But based on what I've seen, I would say that right now Malik Willis is ahead of Will Levis at the backup quarterback position, however you want to put that. Do you think that going into camp that this could actually be a battle for the two spot between those two, or ultimately it's going to be Will Levis by default because they traded up to get him in the second round?
Yeah, I think that Levis is probably going to end up with that number two quarterback spot. I don't know that the switch will be immediate. And, you know, credit to Malik Willis for, you know, getting his act together, or at least it seems to be in OTAs and minicamp. We'll know more once the pads go on and training camp and preseason arrives, because I think you'll probably see a lot of those guys, both Levis and Willis, in the preseason games, one, to keep Ryan Tannehill healthy, and two, because they need to see what they have in these guys to see which one of them gives them the best chance. Obviously, Willis has the disadvantage of not being Rand Carthon's guy, but I think that the Titans will give him a full look to see how much he's improved and to see you know, what it is he can bring to the table, because, you know, with Tannehill in the last year of his contract, if one of these guys if both of them are improved and, you know, Levis is your starter and Malik is your backup, then you've got two quarterbacks on cheap contracts for next year, and which should set you up for success, provided they can, you know, be leaders of the team and execute on the field.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, look, I think we all would agree that if Tannehill goes down, then it's a completely different conversation, kind of similar to what we saw last year with this team when they ended up bringing in Josh Dobbs.
Yeah, and, you know, that's probably a situation they would prefer to avoid this year. One, they'd like to keep Tannehill upright. But two, if something were to happen to him and he were to miss some time again, I think that would be the opportunity probably where they would take a guy like Levis and say, let's see what we've got. And Levis does have the added advantage of having played in a pro system, having taken snaps under center, having commanded a huddle. All those things were things that Malik Willis had to learn from the jump last year. And those are the types of things that, you know, while he's putting in the time to do that, you know, he's having to learn how to be an NFL quarterback while having never done much of that stuff in college. So to me, that's the advantage that Will Levis has in this situation, because he's already got the basics down. It's a matter of him now learning the offense, learning the timing with his receivers, learning the speed of the game.
Do you believe that the number one thing everyone's going to be watching when they report for training camp will be, is this offensive line actually improved?
Yeah, I think that's a big thing, you know, because we don't know if this offensive line is improved. We know it's different, but we don't know if it's improved or not, because you're taking – think about it. You're taking the guy who was a top backup with the Eagles, a guy who was a top backup with the 49ers. You're putting one at left tackle. You're putting one at right guard. You've got a rookie at left guard. You've got last year's left guard at center. you got one holdover, and he's the second-year guy in Nicholas Petit-Ferrer. But guys like Andre Dillard, Daniel Brunskill, and even Peter Skoronski, you've got to see what you have in those guys. You've got to know, are they long-term answers to help this offensive line for the next 2-3 years, or are they just stopgaps who are filling a spot until you can draft or sign somebody else who's better? So that's going to be interesting to see. I think one of the things, though, I think Tim Kelly is going to do everything he can. You know, when they talk about playing fast and speeding things up, I think what you're talking about there is a lot of, you know, shorter, quicker plays that don't put Ryan Tannehill in harm's way the way he did last year under Todd Downing, with him dropping back, taking a lot of seven-step drops, play action, trying to let something develop 15 yards down the field. I think you still see a little bit of that as long as the running game is effective and you can use play action, but I think you're going to see a lot more of the ball coming out quicker in order to protect this offensive line so that they don't have to pass protect for 4 or 5 seconds and then it backfire and with a sack or a strip, you know, a strip and a fumble or a hurried pass that gets tipped and intercepted.
So I know we've talked a lot about the offense, but there is a couple things on defense that I have questions about. Christian Fulton is one of them, and how this is all going to play out with him. He didn't practice at all. He said he wasn't hurt. It was basically he's working on the soft tissue stuff and not being a repeat offender is basically what I've taken away from it. I know Mike Vrabel kind of defended him a little bit on some things, but to me, this really has to work for him. And he better hope that he's right in going about it with this strategy, because he's, I think, played 13 games is the most he's played in a season. He's never played a complete season. This is a make-or-break year, in my opinion, for Christian Fulton.
Yeah, I mean, it definitely is. For one thing, he's in the last year of his contract. So, you know, heading out into free agency, if he wants to get a second contract from the Titans and some sort of extension, he needs to be available. He's been decently productive when he's been on the field, but the injuries that he's had with hamstrings and things like that have been a problem. And, you know, if you're going to earn a second contract, you're going to have to show them that you're available. I think that's the primary reason that David Long wasn't re-signed, is because they were concerned about his durability and his availability with the soft tissue injury. So Christian Fulton, it's make or break for him. And I think probably the fact that Christian Fulton has not been durable, and the fact that Caleb Farley has had his issues with injuries as well, probably the main factor in them going out and signing Sean Murphy Bunting in the offseason with the idea that he's probably going to start at one of those cornerback spots.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued by him too, Terry. I think he could be a good addition, but time will tell as we're about a month away from reporting for training camp. Hey, appreciate this. As always, good to talk to you, and we'll see you in about a month.
All right. Take care, Chase.
You too, Terry. Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. A lot of good stuff with him that we will follow up on next. And also, is Jacksonville, we talked about this earlier a little bit, are they really that team to beat in the AFC South? Are we that convinced? We'll discuss. Take your call, 615-737-1025. Chase and Michelle, 1025-1063, The Game. That goes out to Engineer David, because he is simply the best. Restoring our internet. That means the streams are back. Hi, you can see me now. Everything is great. So our great engineering team getting it done. Ted, Holly, appreciate it. So you can watch us streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every day. And our video streaming brought to you by Superbook Sports. Download their app today. Use my promo code, Chase, when you sign up for that. Appreciate Terry McCormick for joining us. I believe, I may be a little too soon in saying this, but I believe Predators general manager Barry Trotz going to join us tomorrow pre-draft. So incoming general manager Barry Trotz will join us. So we'll keep you updated on that. But right now with the Titans, and specifically the AFC South, is Jacksonville really the team to beat in the AFC South? Now, I believe that roster got better. I think that Trevor Lawrence, another year under Doug Peterson, his third year in the league, will get better. So I think that team, you can view that team and say they are improved. But, you know, the narrative that, oh, they won the AFC South last year, they're the team to beat. They didn't win the AFC South. The Titans lost the AFC South. The Titans lost seven in a row, had a beat-up roster, squandered some things at times, and that's what happened. They lost. That's ultimately where it went. And Jacksonville was able to win and to get it done. And then you look the next week against the Chargers, and Trevor Lawrence throws four interceptions, and they have to come back and somehow miraculously win the game. I wouldn't call that winning. That's how it all shook out, and sometimes that happens. But the question is Jacksonville really the team to beat this year in the AFC South? Charles Robinson, Yahoo Sports, was on with Robbie and Rex Road earlier today and gave his thoughts on the Jags.
How big of a gap do you think there is right now between the Jags and the Titans?
It's a good question because, look, the reason why I think a lot of people, aside from the fact that Jackson won the division last season, you look at the roster, it's improved. They're spending every single offseason improving it. I think, though, a big part of this really is just the thought process that you're going to see Trevor Lawrence continue to take these big steps forward. Remember, we came into last year, we were like, what's going to happen with this guy? Is this a miss? Like, is this, did the Urban Meyer experience break him and he's never going to be the player we thought he was? And then down the stretch, he turned into Trevor Lawrence that, was the number one pick and the generational player out of Clemson. So I think a lot of people, it's very sexy to go, okay, well, Trevor's going to take that next big step. That's going to be a team that, kind of fixes it or clicks it all into place. The one thing I look at, though, with particularly Trevor and that offense, the wide receiver group there that he's working with, Christian Kirk, he definitely offered more than I thought he could last season. I was surprised. I mean, I got so fixated on the money, I was like, he can never live up to it. But he was a good, solid addition for them. I think for them to take this big step forward where they're just a hammer lock, for the division.
That was Charles Robinson earlier this morning. Yahoo Sports joins Robbie and Rex Road every Thursday at 8 o'clock on the gap between the Titans and the Jags. Now, a couple textures on the text line. Jags are a solid 10-11 win team, but they are not unbeatable. They are not the Bills, Bengals, or Chiefs. They got no O-line and their defense is mediocre. If the Titans pass rush can get to Lawrence and offense score 21 to 24 points, the Titans can win the division, but they can't be making dumb mistakes and got to stay healthy. I think that's spot on. Don't do dumb bleep to hurt the team and then stay healthy. I mean, Michelle and I joke all the time. We're going to put it on a T-shirt with Chase and Michelle of, well, if he can stay healthy. I mean, that really is the narrative with the Tennessee Titans right now, that if they can stay healthy, and a guy that the Titans plucked away from the Jags, Arden Key, I think Arden Key is going to be a dude for them. I really do. I love that signing. I think he's got fire. He's got that tenacity, that fortitude, however, whatever you want to call it. He's got it, and adding that to that group. And, oh, by the way, Harold Landry coming back. I think, again, if they can stay healthy, that pass rush is going to be legit for the Titans. So I agree with the texter on that. Matthew from Jolton says, I'm not convinced by Jacksonville. It took them a long run of wins and a Titans 7-game losing streak to win the division. Again, spot on. It's kind of how I felt about it. That I didn't view it as the Jags winning the division. I viewed it as the Titans lost the division. And I feel like that Matthew from Jolton kind of feels the same way. 615-737-1025, our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. How big of a gap do you think there is between the Titans and the Jags for the top of the division right now? Because I think we agree the Colts and Houston, they're kind of in another tier. Crazier things can happen. But curious of your thoughts. Caroline Fenton going to join us in studio for the rest of the way as well. We'll get her thoughts on this next. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Actually, now it's Chase and Caroline. Caroline Fenton.
I'm taking over.
You are taking over.
Step You've been aside, nice enough. Michelle.
She'll be back Monday for her farewell tour, but she'll be back Monday. But you've been nice enough to come in for the last 30 minutes
because
I figured I'd just give you some extra work. You know, we could talk. We don't get to do this a lot.
And it's fun. Whenever we get the opportunity, I'm more than happy to hop on. Happy to be here. And now that we have internet.
So yeah, no, it's nice. So shout out to our entire engineering crew for getting that done because it's been a crazy, I guess, little less than 12 hours, maybe 10 hours through storms and whatever's been going on, but we got everything going, and I am glad everything is rocking and rolling now. But asking this question, and people are weighing in on our text line, we'll get to some calls in a second. How big of a gap do you really think there is between the Titans and Jacksonville atop of the AFC South?
Well, this is a conversation that we had on Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, and sometimes there are conversations that I have with Willie and Derek, and I think, like, What, am I on a different planet? Like, are you serious?
I know that feeling.
Like, when Derek says that Chris Moore is going to be better for the Titans offense than DeAndre Hopkins would, I'm like, wait, are we living on the same planet? Like, what in the world? And this is a conversation that we had, and I think that Derek and Willie believe that there are leaps and bounds differences between the Titans and the Jags, mostly because of the quarterback position, that they view this ceiling for Trevor Lawrence to be so incredibly high, and I would probably agree. Like, I think Trevor Lawrence is a good quarterback, but I'll believe it when I see it. With Trevor Lawrence, I mean, he has struggled the past couple of years, and I know that it's the Urban Meyer effect, and I know that your first year in a new offense under Doug Peterson, there's going to be growing pains. But I really don't think that the gap between these two teams is really that astronomical.
I don't either.
I mean, we were talking about it on Jared versus Joe last night. I asked a very similar question, you know, just how much better are the Jags than the Titans? And Joe Rexroad said, and I view the Jags as maybe a 9-8 team. I think the Titans could be like an 8-9 team. And I think that that's really accurate. I don't think that the gap is that huge. I'll go back to that final game of the season, which Derek says I'm not allowed to, apparently, because if something's the past, then we can't talk about it, and apparently means nothing. But that game was close. It came down to the wire. It came down to a really bad Josh Dobbs fumble call for the Jags to win the division. It took the Titans to have a 7-game losing streak, for their offensive coordinator to get a DUI, for the general manager to get fired, and the starting quarterback to get injured, for the Jags to win the division. So now all of a sudden, all of that happened. The Jags win the division. They win a playoff game in which Trevor Lawrence throws 4 interceptions. Now all of a sudden, I'm supposed to believe that the Jags are going to be a top 5 team in the NFL. I don't. They might.
Yeah.
But I have no reason to believe that.
Because, again, I'm a broken record here, but I believe that the Jags didn't win the division. The Titans lost the division. And there is a big difference in that. And then I think sometimes, you know, people go, well, yeah, they won a playoff game. Did you see the first half of the playoff game? Can we can't just ignore that.
The way we talk about Trevor Lawrence versus Ryan Tannehill is very, very different, and I don't think that it is fair. Ryan Tannehill's biggest smudge on his resume is that Bengals game. He threw 3 interceptions. He threw the game away. It was on him. Well, Trevor Lawrence threw 3 interceptions in a single half against the Chargers. If the Jags would have lost that game, the conversation surrounding Trevor Lawrence would be very, very different. And we might be talking about Trevor Lawrence the exact same way that we talk about Ryan Tannehill in that 3 interception game against the Cincinnati Bengals. I believe the same way that you say the Titans lost the division, the Jags didn't win it. I believe the same way that happened with the Chargers-Jags game. I think the Chargers lost that game. The Jags didn't win it. Brandon Staley just simply kissed that game away. It was a poorly managed game by Brandon Staley. And credit to Trevor Lawrence. He did what he needed to do to be able to come back in that game. He threw 4 touchdown passes, also threw 4 interceptions.
Right.
I don't know how many times in the history of football has a quarterback thrown 4 interceptions and that team wins.
It was an amazing stat. By the way, the text line is still mad at Derek for saying if you never play in the NFL, you don't know football.
So that's not what he said. I'll have to give Derek some credit. He was basically saying, like, I've been in the league before, and I know how it feels to have people say that you suck and you're terrible and you're trash and you're not if you're playing at that level. So, yeah. D-Mace is not saying, you know, you can't have an opinion on the NFL if you didn't play in the NFL. I just think that there was a texter texted in about the wide receiver core. This Titans team called him trash.
And yeah.
D-Mace didn't like that very much.
Yeah. I defended D-Mace this morning, too, because I said, I'm not going to go trash. I'm just going to go, they got a ton of question marks.
One of the worst in the NFL, I think, is fair. Where it stands right now. Maybe Treylon Burks absolutely blossoms and is a top 10 receiver in the NFL. We'll look at it very differently. But where it stands right now, it's one of the worst in the NFL.
Treylon Burks is the number one question mark of, okay, can he take a huge step year one to year two? To me, and I'm curious if you agree with this or not, Kyle Phillips would be number two.
Yeah, I would say the needs of this team, they're going to need Kyle Phillips to step up. They're going to need him to play a larger role. I think they're also going to need him to play a larger special teams role.
Yeah.
You're going to have to catch punts.
Yeah.
Like, let's do that.
And actually catch
and
them.
And actually
not,
catch them.
Not muff them.
Exactly. We're going to need to not muff punts. We're going to need to have, you know, special teams that's just a little bit better than it was this past season. I might go a little bit different, and I'll say Chigakonkwo. Just the way that I think Ryan Tannehill thrives. I think that in short yardage situations and dink and dunk kind of offense is where Ryan Tannehill, really this offense as a whole, thrives. You don't want Ryan Tannehill to lob the ball 27 yards downfield. Like, mm-mm. He's not Patrick Mahomes. He's not Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. That's not how this offense thrives. I think over Kyle Phillips, I'll say Chigakonkwo taking a step forward. And that's no disrespect to what Chig did this past season.
And
let's see what more he can do.
I put Chig in that, too. Mm-hmm. I'm just – true wide receivers was kind of what I was saying. Yeah. I mean, look – if you're going ranking of importance of pass catchers on this team, it's Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo. Right. I mean, I think it's 1-2. But strictly receivers, I think Phillips has to do something. Mm-hmm. Because, and I say that because I'm pretty sure I know what Westbrook Akina is at this point. I mean, he's a role player.
He's a three at best.
Yeah, but he's a role player. Mm-hmm. And that's fine. You need those guys. That's what he is. Racy McMath, if he makes the team, I think I know what he is. Chris Moore, I think I know what he is.
Don't tell Derek that. Because Derek thinks that Chris Moore can be an 800-yard receiver this year. I think that Chris Moore, he is.
Based on what?
I don't know. don't you ask him that. Chris Moore, he is what he is. You know, he's going to be a role player. Nick Westbrook-Ikhine the same way. He's going to be a role player. Racy McMath, I feel like Mike Vrabel already told us, he's a special teams guy. Mike Vrabel even said, let's start with special teams. Let's start there, and then we can start talking about being a legitimate threat in the pass-catching game. I think just first and foremost, above all else, the number one focal point and the most important thing for this offense is, can Treylon Burks take steps forward? I can't 100%. Overstate the importance of Treylon Burks getting better and taking that step to being a certified number one receiver.
615-737-1025. Brent wants to weigh in on the Titans. Brent, thanks for holding. What's up?
Yeah, well, I think the difference between the Jags and the Titans, I agree with you guys. I think it's very, very close. You know, you might have to give the Jags a nod just because, like it or not, they are sitting on top as we speak, so somebody's got to knock them off. Now, I think this team, I mean, I know this sounds like a broken record, but we desperately need to get this deal done with Hopkins if it's even possible, or if not D-Hop, somebody like him. Otherwise, we're going to be kind of like we were last year, 8 men in the box beating up Henry, and it's just going to be kind of like the same old Titans. Now, I say that knowing full well that for the last 2 years, we've had the worst offensive coordinator in the league, in my opinion, you know.
No doubt.
So maybe the new coordinator can use what we've got and can open the game up, you know, because that's a big question too, guys, on is this guy going to be that much better than Todd Downing? And, God, if he's not, then we really are in trouble. Anyway, those are my thoughts. I think the Titans are a lot better team than people are giving us credit for.
Thanks for the call. Appreciate it, Brent. And I agree. I mean, and especially if you add Hopkins. Right now on Superbook, Titans are plus 425 to win the division. The Jags are minus 175. The Colts are only plus 550.
Plus 425?
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
I would
hop on that. That's crazy return. There's another element between the Titans and the Jags that I don't think that we talk about enough, And that's the difference of the schedule.
Yeah, 100%.
Like, when the Jags play the Bills, you play the Dolphins. And right. I know the Dolphins are a solid team, but if my options are Bills or Dolphins, I'll take the Dolphins all day long. You know, when the Jags play the 49ers, you play the Seahawks. When the Jags play the Chiefs, you play the Chargers. And those teams that the Titans play aren't any slight. Like, that's not an easy schedule. Those aren't automatic wins. Those aren't easy games. But still, with that being said, the Jags have to go through a gauntlet, and yours is just a little bit easier of a path.
Yeah, I agree with that. There are a couple things on this schedule that concern me a little bit, and I'll throw those at you coming up next. Chase McCabe, Caroline Fenton hanging out today. Chase and Michelle, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, Caroline Fenton with you. Of course, she will have Caroline Willie and Dee Mace coming up at the top of the hour. What's on tap?
So we were just talking. We had a caller call in about the worst offensive coordinator in the league. Yep. We're going to be discussing some analytics. It's Willie's, you know, Willie's forte.
Oh, he loves
we're
it.
Getting into the nitty gritty of the numbers of things. Just kind of shows exactly how bad it really was. If that changes our perception at all of this team going into the season, and a whole bunch of betting talk. Because the NFL had a meeting with the media on Tuesday afternoon. Just kind of highlighted what's been going on, why is it such a problem, clarifying how they're moving forward with the gambling policies in the league. So I have some thoughts on that. So we'll get into that today as well.
Yeah, okay. I like that. We'll be tuning in. Coming up at 11 for Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. But discussing right now the gap with the Titans and the Jags, and you brought up the schedule.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing that concerns me a little bit with the schedule is this year, the draw in the division for them is the AFC North.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the AFC North is one of those that, okay, Bengals are up top, sure. But I don't know what the Browns are.
I don't know what the Steelers are.
I don't know what the Ravens are. I don't know what the Steelers are. I think the Ravens will probably challenge for the division with the Bengals. But the Browns and the Steelers are huge questions for me, and you got to play there.
Yeah.
Which are tough places to play. I mean, historically, the Titans have not played well in Pittsburgh.
And it's later in the season, correct?
Yeah, like it's a Thursday night game.
In November?
Yeah, November 2nd. So early November.
It's going to be cold in Pittsburgh in early November, though. So that is, you know, an aspect there. We know Ryan Smallhands-a-Hill doesn't play great in the cold. But I think the other side of that is two things on that. Not only do you have to play the AFC North, but so do the Jags. And then the other side of that is you're not just playing the AFC North, you're also playing the NFC South.
Yep.
Which might be the worst division in football. If it's not your division, it's the NFC South. So I think that's those are a couple of gimmies there as well. But also questions about the NFC South. I don't know what the Saints are going to be. I think they might be better than they were last year.
I mean,
with
I think
their
that division is
a quarterback.
That division's wide open.
If I had to put
Except
money on it today, I would probably say the Saints win it that division. But I think that you can win 8 games and win that division.
Probably.
Same way with last year, the NFC South.
I think the Falcons could be the one that is the – could go either way.
What does Baker look like in Tampa?
Yeah.
I have no idea. No idea what that looks like.
I forgot about that.
I know. It's just a weird situation with Baker and Tampa, and I don't know if Tampa is going to be hashtag tanking for Caleb Williams next season. There are plenty of teams in that division that I think could be looking ahead to their quarterback of the future.
Yeah.
Except the Panthers. I think they're pretty set.
Yeah, no, they know what they're going to do. So I think that's intriguing. But the North, the AFC North is certainly – I mean, that Baltimore game in London is – I think by then that's week 6. That's when you're going to have an idea of where this is going to go. Either way.
And that's what I don't know at what point or if at all – is there a cutoff point of evaluation before the trade deadline? Are they looking at this season like we're going to try and win as many games as possible until a certain point? And I don't think so. I really don't. But that London game will be interesting just because of one, where it's when it's played, week 6, and also the opponent that you're playing in Baltimore. I think that's a winnable game. I think there are several winnable games on this schedule that I view as winnable that maybe national media might not view as winnable, because I don't think that the national media is giving the Titans any sort of credit, because I think that they're all looking at the 7-game losing streak and the 7-10 overall record and not necessarily looking at how the team improved in the offseason and also why that 7-game losing streak happened.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, there's just a lot of toss-up games, you know, right now, at least as it appears. I mean, they opened the season at New Orleans. I think on paper, I would lean the Titans. The sports books have New Orleans as a 3.5-point favorite.
It's a tough place to play.
It's a tough place to play.
Advantage given to you by Vegas.
And Derek Carr is going to be like fired up. I have to prove myself in one game.
Yeah.
Which could be to the advantage of the Titans that he's going to be a little too uptight in that. But, you know, so that right there is. You know, like you said, it's a tough place to play, but that right there is the first toss-up game to start things off.
And I think that that's when you're going to start getting a whole lot of your questions answered. Because I think that we all think that the offensive line is improved, but I don't know.
I don't know.
You can think that, you know, if you don't have Dennis Daly on the offensive line, then you can only go up from there. But I don't know what Andre Dillard is going to look like if, in fact, he is playing left tackle. I don't know how much of an upgrade he is. Let's not forget, he's a career backup in the league. I do think that Tim Kelly is going to be a better offensive coordinator than Todd Downing because I don't know how much you could get worse, honestly. But I don't know. I mean, he called a better offense in Houston. But even with Deshaun Watson, Houston was kind of middle of the road in terms of NFL offenses. So I don't know how much better he's going to be. Those are all questions. Treylon Burks.
Yep.
What does he look like in year two? Kyle Phillips, what does he look like in year two when he is healthy? Derrick Henry. I have no reason to believe that he does take a step back.
I haven't even talked about him yet.
But yeah, I mean, those are all answers that we're not going to get until we see them actually play a game. And you'll start to get those answers in the first couple of weeks. We're not going to answer all of them week one against New Orleans, but I think you're going to start to get a little bit more of a peek behind the curtain.
Ricky just texted me and said, take the over in week one, 41.5. So he's already betting over-unders. I love it.
I need to take a breather before I start looking at over unders a little bit. But
I mean, that seems
an interesting
right.
Thought.
Yeah,
I would maybe lean the under there. Maybe lean the under just because of how many questions I have about both of those offenses.
You know that number is 41.5, and it'll change if this happens. But if the Titans grab D-Hop, would you lean more over?
I don't know. I really don't, because I don't know how. DeAndre Hopkins would be an upgrade, period. DeAndre Hopkins makes your team better. But how much better?
Yeah.
How many more points do you put up a game because you have D-Hop? I would say more.
How many more wins?
How many more wins? Like I said to Derek, I think that you add D-Hop, that's probably 2 to 3 more wins on your schedule.
I would agree with that.
He did not like that very much. But I do think that that's the truth. I mean, you look at how many close games the Titans played this past season. I mean, the Bengals, it came down to 4 points. Chargers came down to a field goal.
Yeah.
Giants, it came down to a field goal. There were so many close games, and that's 1, 2, 3 right there, that if you have D-Hop that you're targeting instead of whoever else,
whoever,
you know, what other jabronis you had on that team last year, that could be the difference.
615-737-1025, Adam in Portland wants to weigh in on things. Adam, what's up?
I miss the word jabroni being said more frequently.
I know. The Rock needs to bring that back.
It is a good one.
Yeah, hey, good job last night, Chase, crushing it on TV, bro.
Oh, thanks. I appreciate it. Adam called in. I was on News Channel 5 Plus with JB, John Burton.
Awesome.
So Adam called in. Appreciate it.
Dude, I always give you guys support. I promise I have more things going on in my life just besides you guys, but I do this while I work, and I listen to you guys on News Channel 5 whenever I'm just chilling out in the shop at night. But I thought you did good, man. I one thing y'all aren't addressing is this is not a two-team division, in my opinion, either, man. I know we talked a little bit about Vrabel last night, but if you think about it, like, I'm not saying the Colts or the Texans are going to win the division, but I don't think, like, I feel like the Colts, and I hate them, you know, but I feel like they were, like, kind of competitive without a head coach and without a quarterback last year. Also, the Texans are, like, sneaky competitive every game. So, not only do I think the Jags are, like, phony baloney. They're not going to win two divisions in a row. They've never done it. You got to show me you can do something before I believe you'll ever be able to do it again. I think it's not necessarily a two-team race either. Like, I wish I could say the Titans are going to win the division, but I wouldn't be surprised if we split with any of those teams.
Got to run on that, Adam, but thanks. I appreciate it. I mean, I like Shane Steichen as the hire for Indy.
I need to see a little bit more from Shane Steichen. Everybody is saying that Shane Steichen is like a quarterback guru, and okay, they probably know a whole lot more than I do, but just throughout all of Shane Steichen's stops, it's not like I've seen something that I'm like, oh my goodness, that is, you know, that he's got the golden touch. When he was with the Chargers, I mean, he only was with Justin Herbert for a year. And then we saw Jalen Hurts really blossom into what he was this season. But was that because of Shane Steichen, or was that because of the moves that they made in the passing game? Was that because the Eagles had the best offensive line in the league? Maybe it's a little bit of everything. I do believe that this is a two-team division.
Well,
I
look,
really do.
If you ask Jared, Anthony Richardson's going to win three MVPs. And
Peyton Manning.
He's Peyton Manning.
Andrew Luck. Anthony Richardson. I just hope they don't ruin Anthony Richardson.
I hope they don't either. But Jared, man crush on Anthony Richardson. Hey, on the way out, caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to the NHL Awards Bridgestone Arena Monday, June 26th, 615-737-1025. Caller number 5. Caroline, thank you so much for sitting in.
Happy
and
to
I,
hop on.
I turn things over to you, Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace. Coming up next, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.